How's everybody doing this morning? Isn't it exciting to see all those people come up here, get involved in Faith City? Man, that's encouraging. And look at that, a bunch of them has already gone to work. Amen. It's the way it's supposed to be. You think about it, when Paul had that big conversion on the road to Damascus, it wasn't no big thing that took place there. His life was changed, and then he went right into the ministry. Amen. And so you got to understand that is that as soon as your life, as soon as we become born again, we are given a gift, a ministry that we're supposed to be doing, the ministry of reconciliation, amen? We get to bring people back onto God. But that also means that we got to get involved and do stuff, amen? 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 Turn to your neighbor and say amen. 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 Good. Well, I do apologize. I have a man cold. I guess that's comparable to a woman giving birth, I guess. I'm joking. I told Pastor Roma the other day, I got a man cold. You're going to have to do my last rites. But no, I'm good. Praise God. I have fisherman's friends. They fix everything. I mean, a Newfie's friend, yeah. They fix everything, amen? Well, this morning, seeing we've got this whole helps thing on the go here, we're going to have a little conversation, a little bit of encouragement this morning about getting involved and helping out and doing all those sorts of things. And so we got to understand that each and every one of us, we have been given a gift. We've been all been given a ministry. And every member is a minister. And we need to understand that because, you know, none of us, not one of us in this place were called to be a bench warmer. Nobody was just designed to sit down and do nothing. Last night in Toronto, there was a big party because somebody done something pretty awesome. Amen? Anyone tell me what took place last night? The Raptors, that's right. Now, those guys, what if they all decided last night, you know what, no, I'm not going to play ball. I ain't going to show up. I'm just going to sit on the bench, and that's it. What would happen there? Well, it would be a different tune this morning. But there was a bunch of squad of guys that decided, you know what, we're going to come together, pull together as a team, and we're going to work together as a unit, and we're going to crush them. Amen? And they have a victory, praise God. And they're going on to the finals. Woo! You know what else is exciting? Boston Bruins did the same thing, praise God. Get out of here. But you see what happens when you come together as a team? Stuff gets done. And so we, you know, as a church, the same thing applies here at Faith City Church, is that we got to come together as a team in order to get stuff done. It just can't fall on the shoulders of Pastor Roma or Pastor Ken or myself or, you know, any of our wives or, you know, Jerry can't clean the whole building himself. You know, I know he'd love to be able to do it, but it's just a huge building, you know. And so Jerry goes around with our vacuum cleaner, and our vacuum cleaner has a name on it. It's called James. You know, you see poor Jerry and James going through the church all, you know. You know, it's lonely. It's lonely. And it takes a lot of people. The other day, we showed up here, and there was a full army of cleaners in this place. You know? That's exciting to see people working together. And is that job any less than preaching? No. You know, that's very important. Don't you appreciate coming into a clean sanctuary? Going into clean washrooms? Yeah. That's good. And so we got lots to be thankful for people that's pulling up their socks and willing to do what needs to be done. Sometimes it's not always the most glamorous thing. Sometimes you are involved in First John Ministries, right? But that's what it is. It's First John Ministries. You're working. You're doing something for God. Amen. So here at the church, we have a lot of things going on. It's a very busy church. Next weekend, we have the Believe Youth and Young Adult Conference, the first one we've ever done like this. And we are excited. But, you know, it takes more than one person to pull this off. It takes a whole group of people to do something of this sort. And, you know, it's just not, it can't just be carried by one man's faith either. Because we're expecting things to take place. And so our teenagers are involved, and they're excited about this, and they've been praying about it, and they've been telling their friends about it. We got other people at different churches that's been praying about it, and that's excited about it, and that's coming. You know, one of the other staff members from another church said, hey, I got the whole week off next week, so what can I do to help you? You know? And so when other churches are seeing what you're doing and they want to be a part of it, that's exciting. That means you're doing something right. And so, you know, it takes a lot of people to do these things. Believe Youth Conference, Young Adult Conference is going to be fantastic. You know? And we're not just tooting our own horn because we are believing it to happen. Amen? But it takes people helping to do this. And like I said, God never ever designed any of us to be bench warmers. We were never designed just to sit down. This year was my first year coaching hockey, and I had a squad. I had 13 kids on my hockey team. These guys are awesome. And you know what? You can't get these kids to sit down. They just want to go. They just want to go. They were not designed to be bench warmers, these kids. I'm telling you. They get in and off their shift, and they're standing, and they're ready to go. And as soon as the buzzer would go for their shift to change, well, they were over the boards whichever way possible they could. Some of them ended up flat on their face, but they wanted over. You know, they wanted it on the ice. You know? You see, these kids, they had a desire to get there and play hockey. Well, then how much more should our desire to be to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Amen? How much more should our desire to be to see what God has in store for our life? Because we're being faithful and being diligent onto our calling. Once again, you're not designed to be a bench warmer. You're designed to get in the game, you know, score a few goals, make some passes, work together with the team, you know, get a couple three-pointers. Come on now. You following me? Amen. All right. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. In the New Living Translation, it says, "But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it." You're not a mistake. You're not, you know, some mess up or anything of the sort. God's got a specific place for you in the body of Christ. Are you listening to me? You have a job to do. You have something that you're supposed to be doing. You're a part of the body of Christ. Now, the body of Christ, what is that? Well, Jesus is the head of the church, and he's the head of the body. Now, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven right now. That's where Jesus is. Now, while we're on this planet, while we're on this earth, we are God's, or Jesus' hands and feet. We are to be doing the work that we're supposed to be doing. And as the body of Christ, which is the church, well, we're supposed to be doing something. Scripture tells us, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Now, not everybody can be a missionary, be an evangelist. Not everyone can be Mark Davey, you know, preaching to hundreds of thousands of people. But you can make a difference in your local church by supporting people like that, by supporting your local church, by getting behind different ministries, by volunteering, by doing stuff. It was quiet in this church this morning. But you can make a difference. And there's lots of ways that you can get involved. See, not everybody is called to be an evangelist. Not everyone's called to be a teacher. Not everyone's called to be a preacher. Not everyone's called to be a musician. But we've all been given a gift to do something. Each and every one of you can do something. Don't say, "Well, Pastor Steve, I don't have that many talents. You know, I can't do this, I can't do that." Stop looking at what you can't do and start looking at what you can do. Can you smile? Can you shake someone's hand? Do you love children and hanging out with kids? You know, are you good with a vacuum cleaner? You know, what can you do? Can you shovel snow? What can you do? Mow lawns? You know, that's all important. What do you think trying to get to church and it's like Jumanji in here trying to get in through? You know, weeds and grass up the neck trying to get through. You know, how crazy is that? But thankful we got people that are willing to jump on a lawn tractor and mow the lawns and make this place look nice. You know? And we got one lady, she's got a green thumb. You know, where's Linda? She's our gardener, man. She does an awesome job with the flowers and stuff. And, you know, it's fantastic to see these gifts that these people have. Now, 1 Corinthians 27, just a couple verses down there, it says, "All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it." How many of you in this place have accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior? Well, you're a member of Christ's body. And so, therefore, you're a member of the body of Christ, and you have a job. So there's no more excuse now to sit down and be a bench warmer. Praise God. Amen? So we're all supposed to be doing something. You know, as church members or people that's connected to the body of Christ, we're supposed to be plugged in. We're supposed to make sure that we're inserted, that we're doing something. You know, it's exciting to get involved, believe it or not. Some people might think, "Well, you're crazy." No, it's exciting because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what conversations will take place, or you don't know what you'll see, or you don't know how God will use you in different ways. It might seem like you're just doing a random task of some sort. This might be something to you. It might be minuscule. But it actually, in reality, it's huge. You know? Well, Nathan King, this week, he was down painting. Okay? Well, what's putting on paint? That's huge. Amen? Because, you know, the paint needed to have been freshened up on a couple walls there a little bit, because there was some stuff that got on there and whatever. But that's huge, because we want to make sure that the kids and teenagers, young adults, are going to be blessed. Well, what does that mean? What do you mean? They can't worship Jesus without paint? Oh, yeah, sure they can. But we want it to look holy, and we want it to look acceptable. We want it to look nice. We want it to look fresh. You know, we want it to look good. Because we got to have a spirit of excellence, because we're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in here. Amen? So we need to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, and that entails everything that we do. Our whole lives, you know, needs to be a representation of what Christ has done for me and you. Jesus gave it all on that cross. For what? For us to do nothing? No. He gave his life so that we can have eternal life, and that we can flourish in it, and so that we can have a holy, acceptable life unto him. You see, we became righteous. And because we are righteous, then with that comes a thing called holiness. Now, holiness, sometimes people think, well, it's just, you know, people walking around with long robes on, you know. No, that's not the way it is. You know, we strive to live a holy life. Our holy life that we are choosing to live is a response to what Christ did for me and you. We choose to live a life that God, that's a reflection of Christ. Are you listening? Because it's important for us to do that. Once again, Christ gave it all for me and you. We can at least spend a few minutes, you know, a week doing something, helping out, maybe in a Sunday service, shaking someone's hand, being friendly, helping out the hospitality team, crawling on the nursery floor with the babies. I love babies. They're so much fun. But I'm at the stage now where I can give them back, you know. I've had three of my own. I'm done. Praise God, you know. Love babies, but here, you can take your kid back, you know. But, you know, hanging out with the kids are a lot of fun. Hanging out with the preteens are a lot of fun. You know, working around this building, this is a big building. There's always something to do here. And, you know, the more we do here, the more we find that, wow, that needs to be done too. You know? And so there's lots to be doing. Amen. Let's keep going here. Hebrews 10:25. Now, yes, it's important for us to get involved, but it's important for us to come to church. Hebrews 10:25, in the New Living, it says, "And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." You see, we need to put a value back on church attendance. We need to make sure that we're bringing our families. It's just not mom and dad are coming, or just the kids are coming, but it's the whole family that are coming. Because, you know what? Jesus is coming near. We need to get topped up. We need to know what's going on in the world. We need to get strengthened. We need to grow up spiritually, because there's things that we need to do. Amen? We have a job that we are supposed to be doing. And so we need to come together as a family unit. Pastor Roma sent me a very interesting article yesterday, and I was reading through it, and it talked about how it was a pastor's blog. And this pastor was writing an article here, and he said, a father came to him one Sunday morning, or during a service, and said, "Pastor, we're going to be gone for the next 3 months. My child's involved in a sport, and we're just not going to be in church." Well, the pastor, from his point of view, he looked at this, and as he's writing, he said, his heart sank. And he started to talk with this father, and he said, you know, that's good that your kid's involved in stuff, but, you know, church is important too, you know? And so this is a struggle with parents. This is a very fine line on, you know, church and kids' activities. I know I'm a parent. I have three children. And all three of them are involved in activities outside the church. But, you know, it got to come to the point to where we have to make decisions on what's valued in our lives. Because we want to be doing a good service to our kids, because we want to raise them up so that they know. Train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they get old, they will what? Not depart. You know? But if we instill that church is an option in their lives, and that, you know, serving Jesus sometimes is an option, well, are we really doing a justice to them? No, we're not really not helping them out that much. You know? Church is very important because you learn community, you learn fellowship, you learn, you know, that there's other people that's in the body of Christ, you know. But here's another thing, too. There's people that go to church every service, but they're at a different church every service, right? There has to be stability. Are you listening? Because it's very important that we have that stability. So, yeah, we don't forsake the assembling together. We're supposed to be coming together. And that's just not talking about a bunch of Christians getting together for a barbecue or a cookout. Or that's just not talking about just a prayer service in someone's living room every now and then. But that's coming to your local church and getting plugged in and getting hooked up and being around like-minded people that you do things together with. That's what that's talking about in there. Scripture puts a lot of emphasis about coming together. When Paul and his buddy was led out of prison, you know, where did they go? They went back onto to their own company. Okay? Their own company. That's people that were like-minded, that they were connected up with. That wasn't just some random people that, hey, okay, we're going to hang out with you guys. Who are you? You know? They went back to who they knew because there was something there. There was a relationship there, and they know that they would be, you know, helped out and encouraged there because they just got out of prison, you know, for preaching the gospel. All right. Praise God. Well, let's look back at Romans 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we belong to each other. You see, the body of Christ, the local church, what we're in right now, you're part of this. If you're sitting here, you're part of this. Those people that were standing up here, they're part of FCC. They're part of this ministry. Okay? And once again, we're a part of this body. Now, not everyone does the same function. Not everyone does the same thing. But we have something to do. Some of you, you know, it's been a while since you've done stuff. You've been taking a break or whatever. But, you know, that's fine and dandy. But it's time to go back to work. You know, and some of you who were doing one thing for a while, maybe it's time to try something new. Change it up a little bit. Variety is good sometimes, you know. Because you don't want to get yourself burned out. And that we've all heard the saying, many hands make light work. Well, that is very true. Because, you know, what if pastor had to do the music, had to preach, had to go to the hospital visits, had to do all the stuff, had to do all the cleaning, do all that stuff. Get in the wintertime, he'd have to go out and shovel all the snow here in his parking lot and then cut all the grass. And, like, the poor guy, there'd be nothing left of him, you know? But there was years that he was a one-man band for the longest time, you know, back in the early. And some of you remember that when pastor done a lot of things, you know. But praise God, as the ministry grows, more people come, you know. And now he's got us two crazy guys that are on board with him and helping him out and trying to do what we can, you know. And the Lord must bless the pastor with lots of patience, because when you got Pastor Ken and myself, I'm telling you, you got guy from the east and guy from the west, I don't know. You know, you know, it's like we're fighting for the Stanley Cup all the time, you know. Yeah. But you know, it's funny because here you go, you got a couple white guys chasing this native guy around, and we're helping them out. You know, it's exciting to see. It is, you know. But it's exciting to see because the stuff that we've learned and the stuff that we're doing, I would never have thought that I'd experience these things, you know. And so to be a part of this ministry is such a blessing. You know, this is I consider this a blessing to be here and be a part of this. You know, the best church on the planet. There you go. That's a good endorsement right there. So we all got something to be doing. Now, there's other areas in this church where there's people. There's actually people in this church. They got 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 jobs. You know, but sure, they love it, but eventually they'll get tired. But we need other people to pick up their slack and start doing some stuff. And, you know, we can do that, right? We can band together as a team and do some stuff, right? You know, we can be the many hands to make light work. You know, this Spirit Alive walk that's coming up. You know, we can all band together and help that out, amen? That women's conference that's coming up. Miss Anita asked for help. We can all come together and rally around here with those things, right? You know? There's different needs in the children's ministry. Guess what? We can all come together as a family and as the body, and we can help that out, right? Come on. And what about this Believe conference that's coming up? We can all come together and help out with that, right? Yeah. Amen? And this church, this building, Faith City Church, you know, we can all come together and watch this ministry grow and help it. And we can all do all those things, right?
Yeah.
Amen. That's good. That's good. Now, y'all said, yeah, we got you on camera. We know who you are. That's good. Being a part of the body and being a part of this church, you know, a benefit of that is having great support as well. Because, you know, me and my wife, we're from the East Coast, and we don't really have family very close here. You know, when we moved here 10 years ago, I know it's 10 years already. When we moved here 10 years ago, you know, it was just me and her, you know, going on this great adventure. Now there's five of us and a dog and a fish, you know. And, you know, we're still on this adventure, but our family has grown, you know, because it's more than just myself and Miss Kendra and our three kids and the dog and the fish. But, you know, we got spiritual parents, you know. Yeah, we got brothers and sisters in Christ, you know. We got friends that are closer than family that's here. And you see, with that, when you get connected into a church where you're supposed to be, you see, you get that support. And, you know, I got friends and family that I can call. And when I need something, I know they'll be there to help me. And I'm the same way. I know if they need something and they're going to call me, I'm going to be there to do whatever I can to help them. Amen? You don't get that everywhere. Because there's some places you can go and some ministries, some churches you can go to, and it's just the connection is not there. And this is why it's important to be hooked up in a place where you're supposed to be. Because you just don't go to a certain church because it's 2 minutes down the street from your house. No. You get a building that's 2 minutes from your house. And then build a church. No, I'm joking. No, you just don't go to a church because it's 2 minutes down the street from you, or it's the church that you ride up your whole entire life. You go to the place where you're supposed to be, where God has a place for you to be. You know, Pastor Dave and Miss Kathy, they moved up from Southern Ontario, from London, Ontario, the great and mighty heaven on earth, London. You know, according to Pastor Dave, he likes that place. But God called him to be here, and he's been here. He tried to leave, and guess what? The cat came back. You know, Pastor Dave and Kathy, they can't leave if they wanted to at this point. They know too much.
Oh,
they're in deep. You know, that's like someone asked me the other day. He said, Pastor Steve, you guys ever leave this place? I said, no, I can't. I can't. I know too much. I can't leave. I can't leave. They'll send Gino after me. I can't go. I'm a lifer. But when you know where you're called, where you're supposed to be. And a little bit about our story, about how we know we were supposed to be here. You know, 10 years ago, when we first arrived, it was over spring break, you know, hanging out up here. I didn't know what a Thunder Bay was or where Thunder Bay was or anything of the sort. I didn't know what, you know, it was, go drive north. Okay, I'm going north and we'll find it somewhere. But when we came into town and we started looking around, and me and my wife, we started looking at each other like, man, this place is awesome. And you know when you go to a place and you get that peace of God on the inside of you? Well, we were down on Secord Street at that time, and when we walked into that nice little building, praise God, you know, it felt like we were walking home, walking into home. And this is our first time ever here and meeting the people and meeting Pastor and Miss Anita and meeting Pastor Ken. And I remember Pastor Ken, when we first walked into the office, he was a dear man, and he was going around the office like a madman. He was finding, he gave me a notebook and a pen and, I don't know, a bunch of other stuff. And like, my, who is this guy? You know, money, yeah, money. I'll take that anytime. You know, maybe that's why I like this place so much. But, you know, just the hospitality was awesome. And then I met, actually, Uncle Ed and Aunt Maxine. I met Uncle Ed. He was one of the first guys that I met here. And, you know, and then I met the Kings and some other people that were around here. And, you know, it was just awesome because you had that instant connection with people. And then we just felt like, you know, this is awesome. This is it, you know. And, you know, we had to go back and finish, but we didn't want to leave. We had to go back to Raymond and finish school, but me and Kendra, we didn't want to leave. We wanted to stay here because this was home. We knew this was home. So, you know, we were waiting for Pastor and Miss Anita to, you know, talk to us and ask us if, or tell us if they wanted us to come back or whatever. And we were praying, oh, Lord, please let this be the place. Please let this be the place, you know. But, you know, this is where we were supposed to be. And this is awesome. This is home. You see, when you're in the place where you're supposed to be, you'll have that peace on the inside of you. And then, you know what, doing things that you didn't think possible become a lot easier because you won't feel so intimidated. You'll feel like, yeah, I'll try it. What's the worst that can happen? If you fail, okay, you failed. You learn something that you can't do it that way. You know? Yeah, sure, you might struggle with things, but you'll figure it out. You got a support system around you. We all have something that we can be doing. Amen? You know? Acts 4:32. Because we came from Rhema. When we were at Rhema, and you're in this big Christian bubble, you know, tornadoes can't even touch you when at Rhema. They might try, but they can't get at you when you're at Rhema. Okay? When we were there, we had a similar experience what Hannah went through last night. We were all hunkered down, and the tornado went right over the house, and you could see the rotation and went over. And actually, it was funny because Rhema, they were, at that time, they had a they called it the Boneyard. It was an old building that they wanted to demolish. It was a junk building. And they were getting quotes, like, prior to this storm to get this demolished and taken apart, right? So what happened was that this storm, this rotation thing, went over, jumped up a couple streets, went over our house. We're outside watching it. Can you spot the newfies here? You know, we're like filming this thing flying over our house. Like, this is cool. Went over to Rhema's property, parked right on top of this big building, sucked the roof off, and dropped it and demolished it, and then insurance covered it. So, you know, when things try to be bad, the Lord turns it around. You know what I'm saying? You know? And so when you're in such a faith bubble like that, you know, and then when you come to Thunder Bay, well, you don't really think of it as a faith bubble. When you walk into Faith City Church, there's a faith bubble. Because this is where you're supposed to be. Because we expect things to happen in this church. You know, people get involved here in this church. Amen? People do stuff in this church. You know, the statistic goes that 20% of the church congregation are doing 80% of the work. Well, in this church, we got a lot more people. You know, we're closer, I'd say, to 50, 60, maybe even 70% of people. You know? Who in here is on the helps team of some sort? You're involved in some area of the church. Look around you, and then the rest of them are out actually helping. You guys are off this morning, you know, or you're not doing it during the message. That's awesome. You see, that's a huge, huge amount of people in this church that's doing something. Amen? Give yourself a big hand. That's awesome. Hallelujah. I told you to go somewhere in Scripture. Where did I tell you to go? I was just checking to see if you were paying attention. All right, good. So Acts 4:32, and it says, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. Amen? Who got a nice new car? Oh. Anybody got a boat by chance? Boat? Big boat? Okay. Yep. Robbie! Oh. Yeah. We see, as all the believers were united in heart and mind. This is what you got here. You don't get that when you're jumping around from place to place because you can't establish connections like that. But when you are grounded and rooted and you're involved and you're connected, you're plugged in somewhere, then you get united in heart and mind. And so then when you come together with people that are like-minded, because now let me tell you something. There might be situations you're going to face in your life that's not going to be the greatest. You might have relationship issues. You might have, you know, some sort of sickness or illness in your body. You know, you might have something going on in your life. Well, guess what? When you're around like-minded people, they can help you out. They can build you up. They can encourage you. You can get through that storm. If the tornado's flying around and Toto is going and there's no place like home, you're tapping your toes, trying to get back out of Kansas or whatever it is, you know, doesn't matter what situation is going on in your life. Guess what? You got your support right here with you. And this is what we need. A lot of places are missing that. A lot of people are missing that. But when you're where God wants you to be, come on now. You got to be plugged in. You got to be plugged in. That's right. All right, let's keep going here. Galatians 6:2 is another scripture verse I want to show you. Galatians 6:2. Are you guys getting anything out of this morning?
Yeah.
Share each other's burdens. And in this way, obey the law of Christ. Now, share each other's burdens. What does that mean? Well, we're going to help one another out. Sometimes it might not be so convenient. Sometimes you got to go out of your way to help out a brother or sister. But you know what? That's what we're supposed to be doing because we're plugged in. We are connected. We're a family. That's what family does. We help one another out. Anybody ever have a burden before? Let's see. Oh, no one's had burdens in here. Oh, man. What's going on? Man, we've reached it. Hallelujah. Yeah, we've all had burdens in here. You know? If you ask my wife, she might have married a bird. And I don't know. He's just trying to figure that one out. But, you know, yeah. But being a part of the body of the church family comes with a great support. And you get to carry, help one another out, carry each other's burdens. You don't have to go through a trial in a situation by yourself. You got a team backing you. You know, Toronto Raptors, you know, that's a big burden to try and win the Eastern Conference. You know, one player just can't do it. It takes a full team to do it, right? So that whole unit, they won. Well, it's the same thing in the body of Christ and in this church. We carry the load together. We got big plans. You know, God's got big plans in store for this church. Not one man can do it by themselves. You know, not one man. It takes a team that's going to be able to carry it and do it. We're on that team, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get in the game. We got to get off the bench, and we got to start doing something. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Well, we got to remember this. 3 points to remember. We all have a part to play. We all have a purpose. And everybody is important. All have a part to play. We all have something to do. Every one of us has a purpose. You're not a mistake. You're not a screw-up. You're not stupid. You're not dumb. I was told that when I was a kid, actually. I was stupid. By a teacher, actually. Yeah. I was told that by a teacher one time. No, they weren't from Toronto. I was told that by a teacher that I was dumb. And I'm not going to lie. I was a bit of a troublemaker in school. You know, but, you know, yeah, I was more than a troublemaker. I was a troublemaker in school, you know. But I think, you know, for a guy that was considered dumb, I think I've turned out somewhat okay, you know. I managed to figure out a few things in life, managed to get by, you know, working on, you know, some Bible school stuff and, you know, some exciting things coming down the tube here real soon, you know. Been teaching at Bible school for 6 years. I'm a Bible school graduate. You know, yeah. When I was in Rhema, I had a 4.0 GPA until the last semester of the last term. I got one, like, it was like an A- or something, and it dropped my GPA. I was like, no! Because me and my father, my parents actually went to Rhema the same time as myself and Kendra, so four of us graduated at the same time, and so we were always in competition. You know, when you're joking with, you know, saying your mom goes to college, my mom actually went to college with me. Okay? And so, and then I used to tease mom every now and then because she'd either sit close. I'd be, Mom, stop copying! Okay? In middle of class. Still a troublemaker, okay? So anyway. Like, what are you going to do, call my mom out? She's right there. She's causing the issue too, you know? But me and my father were always in competition to see who could get the highest grade. Now, he kicked my butt, of course, you know, because it's that one silly mark that I had. But, you know, for a person that was considered dumb, I thought that was pretty cool that I was able to do so well in school, you know? Because, you know, when you apply yourself and you're doing something and you're following the will of God and you're walking in the path that God has set before you, no matter what's going on around you, God will make sure that you will get through it and you will be success. You got to do your part. You got to do your work. It's not going to be easy. Bible school students, you're almost done. You got, like, what, 4 weeks left? You guys can do it. Amen? Some of you are not in Bible school this year. Next year, you need to be in Bible school because that's where you need to be. Some of y'all got callings on your lives, and you're afraid to step into it. Well, put away that fear because, listen, greater is he that is in you than he does in the world. You know what? Yeah, Bible school is not easy, but guess what? It's scarier being outside the will of God. You'll end up in places where you're not supposed to be. You'll do things that you're not supposed to be doing. Amen? There is a significance on joining together. In Acts 4:32, all the believers were one heart and one mind. We are stronger together than we are alone. We can do greater things together than when we're by ourselves. And so this morning, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I just want to encourage you. This is not meant to be a big Holy Spirit shouting hallelujah message, but this is more meant to be an encouragement to say, you can do it. You can do it. You can get involved. You know, we're cheering you on. You know, there's a bunch of saints that's gone on before us, and they're in the grandstands of heaven cheering us on. You can do it. Get involved. Go do it. Amen? Go change the world. Get involved. Get connected up at Faith City Church. Go see what God's got in store for your life. Don't miss out on the blessings that God has for you. Come on now. God's got lots of promises. All God's promises are yes and amen. One of my most favorite passages of Scripture is, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you." You go after the things of God, God's going to make sure you got everything else. Isn't that exciting, knowing that we have the mind of Christ, we think on the things that God wants us to do, and he's got you. He's got us. You know? We are king's kids. We're royalty. We don't have to be stressing out about stuff. God's got us. If we're faithful and diligent doing what we're called to do, God's going to make sure that you have more than enough, that you are blessed, that you are prosperous, that you are healed, that you are healthy, that you are whole. Because you can't do what you're called to do when you're sick now, can you? You can't go and do what you're supposed to be doing if you're flat broke now, are you? But when you're diligent and you're faithful, God's going to make sure that you're taken care of. Amen? Everyone stand on your feet this morning. Hallelujah. We all have a part to play. Each and every one of us has a purpose. And everybody in this place is important. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're important. You have a purpose." Amen. But it's exciting to see. You know what blesses my heart being a youth pastor? Is seeing the teenagers and kids want to get involved in ministry. Like, man, I'm telling you, and these kids, some of these kids, they're putting some of the older folks to shame because they're doing some awesome stuff, you know? Like, they're doing some crazy stuff. I got a couple kids right now. They're helping me out. I gave them a title. they're my youth interns. And I got Julia Kavar, you know, watching little Kavar grow up in church, you know. And now she's helped me out. She's very important, playing a very important role in this upcoming youth conference, believe it or not, you know. But she doesn't think nothing of it, you know. She's just like, "Yeah, I got this. I can do it," you know. But, you know, she's vital. You know, the Semeschuk kids, there's a whole brood of them kicking around here, you know. But they are vital to this church, you know. And then I got my little ones. Well, they're growing. They're figuring stuff out. And they'll be involved. We got the King's kids, man. We got the Van Vork kids kicking around here. We got all types of children that's in this place, you know. There's kids everywhere. And it's so awesome to see these kids involved and doing stuff, you know. We're starting a program now in our youth with some of the kids. It's called a mentorship program. And this is training them and developing them so that they're going to learn and grow in deeper things of God, you know. They want to get plugged in. They want to start doing stuff. You know, I look back there and I see Bronson back there, man, dressed up in his usher uniform. He's the biggest, baddest bouncer out there, man. Don't mess with him. Okay, I'm telling you. You know? But these kids, they got a desire to serve God. Look at, yes, where's Amina? She's not up here right now. She's probably in the kids somewhere doing something. Rocking out, playing the bass, you know? We got this new girl here. Well, she's not new anymore, but Daytona. You need to get to know this girl. She just published a book. Yeah. You know, she's a blessing to our ministry. It's exciting to see what this girl is doing. You know, I'm excited to have her on our team helping out. And now she's done Faith Foundation, she's going to be thrusted into children's ministry. You know, she's already become like, you know, Timmy's whatever, babysitter type thing, you know? So it's awesome to see all these kids get involved. That's our job. But that doesn't mean that we stop what we're doing and just let the kids take control. We all have a job that we're supposed to be doing. This is our church, not their church. It's our church. Amen? Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I came to church this morning. I'm glad that, you know, I get to be a part of this ministry. I am so thankful that God is doing stuff here in this place. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you never like to shut a service down without doing this. You know? You keep one eye open a little bit, maybe. Every eye closed. If you're in this place this morning and you say, "Well, Pastor Steve, you know, I need to get hooked up. I need Jesus in my life. I need that feeling of unity. I need that family in my life. I need Jesus." If that's you and you're in this place, I want you to lift up your hand right now. I don't want to embarrass you or nothing of the sort, but if that's you, you need to feel that. You know, you want that in your life. You want that connection with people. Yeah, I see that hand anymore. Anymore? Yeah, I see that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Come on. Come on. You need that connection. You want You want more, and you want that support. Amen. Amen. And you're also in this place, and you might say, you know what, Pastor Steve, it's been a while. I've drawn away from God. I haven't been where I'm supposed to be with Christ. I want to get back on track with God. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. If that's you, if you want to get back on track with God. There we go. I see those hands. Thank you. Hands all over this building. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. 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 All right. Well, here's what we're going to do. With every head bowed, every eye closed, we're going to pray a prayer together. And we're going to dedicate our hearts over to God this morning. And we're going to declare this morning that we're going to surrender all to God so that He can use us and so that we can get connected up. Now, we're going to be willing to be used by God so that we can do things that He wants us to do. Everyone repeat after me. Say, Lord, I choose You. I love You. Use me. Take me where You want me to go. Let me do what You want me to do. I commit myself to You this morning. I want to do things for You, Lord. I choose to follow You. I give You my heart. I give You my mind. I give You all of me. Use me, Lord, for Your will, Your purpose. I know I'm loved. I know I'm special. I know I belong to You. I thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! Well, if you prayed that prayer, congratulations. That's awesome. That is awesome. You know, God is so good. And so, don't be a bench warmer. Get in the game. Be like a Raptor and shoot some threes, you know? Be like Boston Bruins. Come on, get some pucks in there. Be a Marchand, eh, you know? Make the devil mad. Amen? Well, bless you. You are dismissed. Don't forget Fellowship Hall. And you guys have a great day. And don't forget tonight, leadership. See y'all tonight. Amen?